This morning we are looking at the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And quite simply, in this passage, James is going to compare and contrast for us two kinds of wisdom. A heavenly wisdom that comes from above, God's wisdom, and also a earthly wisdom, wisdom from below. And the two kinds of wisdom could not be more different. And the way that we can tell that these two kinds of wisdom are different is most prominently in the results, in the effects that they produce. I want to read these verses with you, verses 13 through 18 of James 3, and then go to the Lord in prayer together. James 3, verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Let's bow in prayer together. Gracious God, we come before you this morning and we just are seeking your help. As we read this passage of Scripture, as we take a few moments to meditate on it, to learn from it today, Lord, teach us and mold us. Lord, we want to understand not only in our minds in an intellectual way, but Lord, we desire to do what James has taught us to do in this letter, and that is to take the words of God that we hear and to put them into practice in our lives. Lord, we want to do that. We want to be people that are characterized by your wisdom, heavenly wisdom, that shows itself in the fruit, in the effects, in the results that actually take place in our lives. So Lord, help us understand and apply what we're reading today. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Wisdom is a very important biblical concept. We have whole books of the Bible that are dedicated to learning God's wisdom. The book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, all three of those books are wisdom books. They're all about learning God's wisdom, learning how to look at life and apply God's truth. James is a New Testament book of wisdom in many respects. It's almost like a New Testament version of Proverbs, if you will. And so James is taking from the classroom and bringing us into the workshop and in seeking to show us how to put this into practice in real life. As we think about wisdom in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is chokmah. And when it's an interesting word, because a lot of times when we think about it and look at the different contexts in which wisdom is used in the Old Testament, the first times that we come across it are not in the classroom at all. When we come across the word wisdom in the Old Testament first, it is in the workshop. It's in the hands of a skilled craftsman who is very, very capable of producing a fine product with his understanding, his craftsmanship, his skill. In an Old Testament way of thinking, wisdom, chokmah, is the ability to apply what you know and to do something with it, to make something beautiful, to make something effective, to make something that works, or to fix something. And so, for example, in the Old Testament, God, through Moses, appoints some chosen individuals to help construct the tabernacle and to help construct the furnishings that will go into the tabernacle. And these men are called men of wisdom because of their craftsmanship, their ability to make beautiful things out of wood, to work with metal and to work with gold and to fashion things of beauty. They're men of wisdom. That concept of skill then began to grow and expand and then was applied beyond just the ability to work with hands, but the ability to take truth, take things that God has said, and to put them into practice in life. And so that's where the wisdom of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job comes in, that we're trying to take truth, but apply it, to do something with it. And so to think about wisdom, one of the ways that I thought about a neat way of summarizing it is wisdom is intelligence in action. Wisdom is intelligence in action. And there are people who are incredibly intelligent, and they show that intelligence not necessarily with how they're able to do on a test, filling in little circles, but they're able to display their intelligence by taking tools and using their hands and solving problems and doing difficult things that a lot of us don't know how to do. There are all kinds of intelligence. And what James is trying to show us is that there's also different kinds of wisdom. There's a worldly wisdom, there's a heavenly wisdom, and the main point that James is trying to teach us is in verse number 13. This is really the main idea of the passage. The main idea of the whole passage is in verse 13, where he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it." You see that? Prove it. Show it. If you're wise, then show it. How do you show it? By your life. You show it by your life, by your good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. If you had a broken car and you wanted it fixed, would you go to someone that you had never met before and said with words, "Yeah, this is what you do, okay? You want to take this part and you want to put it here and you do this and then you measure this." And it almost sounds like somebody who learned mechanics out of a book. Or would you rather take your car to someone who by reputation has the ability, and you've seen it in action in other people's vehicles and the finished result, take it to them who you know by their results have the skill to do that? They may not be able to explain it to you exactly what they're doing, but they can fix it. They can fix it. They know exactly what the problem is, and they can fix the problem. That's wisdom. Wisdom is show me the results. Wisdom is show me the fruit. I want things done. And so James is saying to us, here's the measure of what kind of wisdom you have. The measure of what kind of wisdom that you possess is your life. There's the results right there. And this fits in very well with what James has been teaching us in this book, because back in chapter 1, he taught us very clearly that there is a person who hears a lot, who understands a lot, and can even quote to you a lot of scriptures, but their life doesn't match what they know. That's not a wise person, James would say. That's a person who hears, but doesn't do. And so there's lots of people who claim to be Christians, who have been in church their whole lives, who know a lot of biblical truth, who know a lot of verses, but you look at their life and their life does not match what they know in their heads. James says that's not wisdom. Wisdom is intelligence put into action, biblical truth put into action. And so the two kinds of wisdom that he wants to compare and contrast are heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And it's obvious which one we should desire, isn't it? We should desire heavenly wisdom. instead of earthly wisdom. But first, he's going to set the two up in contrast. And so let's look at verse number 14. He says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, in the NIV, they have that in quotation marks, quote unquote, wisdom. That kind of wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So what James is saying is, here's the mark of earthly, unspiritual, demonic, quote-unquote, wisdom. Here's the mark. Wherever you see relationships in discord and strife, relationships broken, wherever you see pride and selfishness and ambition, people wanting their own way, wherever you see envy, wherever you see jealousy, wherever you see a mess in people's lives, their situations, and their relationships, that's earthly wisdom. Doesn't matter what they know in their heads. But if they're not able to put it into practice in their lives, then they don't have the wisdom that comes from above. And so this is just an inventory. This is a wake-up call here. So what is it that is in your life? What does your life look like? Is your life characterized by these things that James talks about in verse 14 through 16? Is your life characterized by envy? Always wanting what other people have. Envious over it. Are you envious of other people's success and you wish you had it for yourself? When other people have success, do you harbor bitterness in your heart that they have that success because you want it for yourself? Do you have ambition, desire to achieve, to grow, to earn, that is selfish, self-centered, and doesn't matter what you do to other people? And that goes about it regardless of what it takes to get there. Hurting people, breaking rules because you want to achieve your goal. Are you boastful? Always talking about your accomplishments and making sure that other people know how good and great you are. Is there disorder in your home? Is there disorder in your workplace when you are there in the midst of it? What are the results? What's actually happening on the ground in real life in action? James says wherever you see that kind of life, disorder and envy and selfishness and pride and strife and contention, that's earthly wisdom. But he even goes deeper than that, doesn't he? It's not just earthly wisdom, not just human wisdom, because ultimately there's more to it than that. There's something else driving it, isn't there? There's something else driving it, and it is fundamentally demonic. It is satanic. It is against God and His purposes. It is the same kind of force that was at work in the Garden of Eden that said to Eve, you got to have this. You got to have this wisdom. Isn't that what Satan said to Eve in the garden? This will make you wise. Your eyes will be opened. You'll have understanding, knowing good and evil. And when Eve looked at the fruit and she saw that it would be good to make one wise, she ate of the fruit. The problem is, what kind of wisdom did she get? She didn't get heavenly wisdom. She got demonic, earthly wisdom. And what was the result? The result was all kinds of disorder, wasn't it? Disorder and chaos and broken relationships, a severed relationship with God, broken, difficult relationship with Adam. Chaos, curse, disorder. That's satanic, earthly wisdom. And James is quite simply telling us, he's writing to Christians, he's teaching us here, you don't want that kind of wisdom in your life. Because that kind of wisdom is not wisdom at all. It comes from the devil. It is sinfully motivated, and it will destroy your relationships and create chaos in your life. So, what kind of wisdom do we want? It's clear, isn't it? We want God's wisdom. We want heavenly wisdom. Verses 17 and 18, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And so let's look at the effects. Let's look at the results of God's wisdom. Wisdom that comes from above. He says, first of all, it's pure. What does that mean? I think it simply means that it is clean of sinfulness. It's godly. It's righteous. It's what he talked about back in chapter 1. Here's true religion, to keep oneself unpolluted from the world. Pure, spotless, clean, living for God. In other words, a pure life of behavior, a good life. Earlier in verse 13, he said, those who really have wisdom and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life. A good, pure life. Let them show it by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So one of the aspects of God's wisdom is purity. Purity of life. Purity of behavior. And we can extend that in all kinds of areas of our life, can't we? Purity of life has to start in our hearts, has to start in our thinking. And purity of mind, Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verse 8, whatever is pure, lovely, think on those things. Purity of mind is the foundation of it, and out of a purity of mind flows purity of action in all areas of our lives. Purity, in verse 13, he says humility. So instead of selfish ambition, instead of scratching and clawing for us to get what we want, even if we have to step on people and break the rules, he's saying, no, we need humility to put others first. As Paul teaches us in Philippians 2, to look not everyone on their own interests, but on the interests of others. Putting other people first. Genuine love of neighbor. And James has taught us already in this passage, love of neighbor. So humility. Purity, humility. And then he says, peace loving. Peace loving. And in verse 18, he talks more about peace. He says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And so are you a person who loves peace, and are you a person who seeks to make peace between people whenever possible? Jesus taught us in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. So those that desire peace. So you can be a peacemaker in your own relationships. How can you be a peacemaker in your own relationships? How can you heal a relationship in which you are involved? James gives us some very clear suggestions. Humility, putting others first. He says in verse 17, considerate. Just simple kindness, right? Just simple consideration for other people, for their wants, their desires, their needs, even their feelings. Consideration. Submissive. That's hard, isn't it? Naturally, in our own sinful condition, we want to be alone. We want to be in charge. We want to be autonomous. We don't want anybody else telling us what to do. And what James is teaching us and other passages of Scripture teach us is that we need to be willing to put ourselves in submission to other people. Willingly, freely, because we've been set free by Christ. Now we can serve others freely. So submit to the desires and the needs of other people. In other words, to heal a relationship in which you are involved often starts with you, by being considerate and kind and humble and submissive and forgiving. And that's where full of mercy comes in. The way you can show forgiveness and forgive other people that have wronged you is to be a person that is full of mercy. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So being willing to forgive others and to show others the kind of mercy that we have been shown by Christ and good fruit. And that's probably just a general blanket statement, isn't it? All kinds of good fruit. We could bring in all the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. All kinds of interpersonal qualities that bring healing to that relationship. Notice the next one, though, in verse 17, he says impartial. He spent a whole section on that at the beginning of chapter 2 of being impartial when he gave us the example of a rich man and a poor man coming into the fellowship of believers. And he said, don't treat one better than the other just because of their status or their wealth. Be impartial. Be sincere. Be a fair and true person. Be a peacemaker who makes peace in your own relationships, and then even when possible, seeks to be a peacemaker in the relationships of other people and bring them together, bring healing there. It's a very simple message. I'm just trying to explain what James is teaching us here, that we all know, and really we could probably read this, and you don't need much preaching from it. You don't need much explanation from it. What is the part that we all need? We've got to do it, right? That's the hard part. So how do we do this? It's where the rubber meets the road. That's where it becomes difficult. That's where we move out of the classroom, if you will, here meeting, learning. We go out into the world and we get into our car with our spouse or with our children. We sit down around the table with our families. We get involved in the real stuff of life throughout the week. We work with our coworkers, and then stuff happens, doesn't it? Words are said, things are done, and we put defenses up, we put walls up, we get defensive, we say things that we shouldn't. Instead of bringing a gentle response, we bring a harsh response, Proverbs 15:1, and we create all kinds of trouble. So we need skill. We need skill like those men working on the tabernacle who could build beautiful things with their hands. We need skill in the workshop of life. And can I tell you something? And you're not going to want to hear this. It doesn't come in a day. Wisdom requires a lifetime to acquire. Takes a lifetime. As believers in Christ, we're always growing, always seeking to become more like Jesus, and we never stop. We never arrive until the time that we go home or Jesus calls us home or we die. It's a lifelong process of wisdom development. What do we do? How do we put it into practice? Well, let's use an analogy for a minute. Let's say that you're a really bad mechanic. You have no clue what to do in a shop, in a garage. Well, where are you going to start? What are you going to do? Well, probably what you would do, the best way to go about it, is to find somebody that knows what they're doing, right? So with something like mechanics, yes, some education, some school material might be helpful, but you can learn a lot about mechanical work just by watching and somebody showing you how to do it. And so if you need to grow and develop in this area of relationships and being a person of humility and considerate and kind and someone who is a peacemaker, then let me encourage you to do this. Find somebody, look around, see someone who is showing some skill in that area. and spend some time with them. Ask them how they're doing it. Learn from them. Let them rub off on you a little bit. What does Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. Discipleship is a replicational model. That's how it was designed to be from the very beginning. And so find someone who is good at humility. And they probably won't admit it if they're humble. But find somebody who's good at humility and seek to learn from them. Even if it's not a formal mentoring discipleship relationship, just watch this person and learn how they react in different situations. So learn from somebody modeling it for you. Spend some time with a more mature Christian who is exhibiting heavenly wisdom from above. It takes some skill. And so learn from other people who have skill in it. But the other thing that you have to do is there are times when if you're learning mechanics, yes, you're learning from somebody, but if the person who is showing you how to do it is a good teacher, he's not just going to show you, but he's also going to put the tool in your hand, right? He's going to put the tool in your hand, and you got to do it for yourself. And there might be times when you make mistakes. Your first time fixing something, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to not maybe put it on right. You're going to mess up. And that's okay, because that's a whole part of the growth and development of wisdom and skill. You're not going to do it perfectly the first time. It's a lifetime of working on it and improving on it. And so if you're a person who is all the time, you know, there's chaos in your relationships and strife and discord and unforgiveness, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And the next time that somebody says something to you that you're tempted to react with a harsh word, then pray and ask God to help you to stop. And as James taught us in this letter, be slow to speak, slow to anger, but quick to listen. So just stop and pray. Give a momentary prayer. God, help me give the right answer here. And then give a soft answer and reply instead of a harsh answer. And that is taking a wrench and putting on the first bolt in your development of heavenly wisdom. And go on from there. And it's a skill that develops over a lifetime. So learn from someone else who is maybe farther along in heavenly wisdom. Put it into practice in your own life when you have opportunity. Be conscious of the times when you're tempted to fail and ask God to help you. And just pray. Pray daily that God would help you to grow in heavenly wisdom. Because what did James teach us in chapter 1? If any of you lacks wisdom, guess what? And we all do, don't we? So if you lack wisdom, where do you go? You go to God. Because if it's heavenly wisdom, it comes from Him. And so if you need it, you go to Him. And you ask Him in prayer. So pray that God would help you. Find someone to help model it for you. And then day by day, moment by moment, put it into practice in your life. And slowly but surely develop in terms of heavenly wisdom. And don't ever stop. Don't ever give up. Don't ever go backwards. If at all possible, just keep moving forward in the grace that God supplies. And here's what this is. This is what I want to communicate. This is gospel truth. This is gospel truth. This flows out of the gospel because the center of James's message is this: faith works. The center of James's message is faith, real gospel faith. Faith that is a gift of God, that comes from Him, His supernatural, regenerating Holy Spirit. This supernatural production of faith in our hearts, it is a faith that works. And so put it into practice in your life. And when you do, it will produce results. And so my prayer for us is that we would be Christians who are characterized by heavenly wisdom, and that heavenly wisdom is seen in a life of good deeds, a life of peace, a life of humility, a life of love. So may we be Christians characterized by that heavenly wisdom. Will you bow in prayer with me? Lord, we need your help in this. We need your help, Lord, to put this into practice in our lives. So many times we set out at the beginning of a day and we read your scriptures and we pray and we ask you to help us. And then later on that day we fail and we say something to somebody that we shouldn't have said. We become prideful or we say a hurtful word. We exhibit selfish ambition. God, we need your help. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you are a forgiving, merciful God. So Lord, forgive us where we fail you. Lord, cleanse us from our sin. Purify us. Make us pure. Lord, we need your wisdom. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are dependent on you. And there is a hole in our lives where we have a void that only you can fill with your wisdom and your grace. So, Lord, we call on you today that you would give us your wisdom. Lord, teach us and help us in everyday situations to put your truth into practice. And Lord, may all of us here, including myself, may we all be people who don't just hear this message, who read it, but who go out and put it into practice and do it. Lord, may the fact that we are your children be seen in our lives by other people. May the results be evident. God, help us by your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.